You'll go to hell with your sins.
Right. If I don't repent with my sins, right.
He knows everything, past, present, and future. He already knows that I'm going to die without repenting. He's known that before I was born, before my parents were born. So he's already condemned me to hell.
Do you know that? No, listen. Wait a second, my question is this. But do you know that? Do you know that you...
No.
So you don't know that, right?
No.
So how do you know God can save you?
No. It's not about me. It's about God needing to commit logical impossibilities.
So you believe in logic. Where does logic come from?
What do you mean?
What is the basis of logic? Where does it come from?
It just is.
Can I ask you a question? If God knew that I was going to have a full stomach tonight...
Yeah.
If God planned that I was going to have a full stomach tonight,
yeah,
would it make sense for me to say, then why eat?
No, but that doesn't escape the argument. Look.
But would it make sense to say why eat?
God knows whether I'm going to repent
right.
for sins or not.
He knows if I'm going to have a full
right.
stomach.
Exactly.
Why do I eat?
Irrelevant. It's
not
relevant. You're focusing on the wrong part of the argument.
So, no, I know the argument. I've done this many times. Trust me.
So what you're saying is that God hasn't condemned me to hell.
No, I'm saying...
He knows if I'm going to repent or not.
Right, he does.
Therefore, he knows if I'm going to hell or not.
Right.
Therefore, if, let's say, I don't repent, which he knows if I'm
right.
not going to. Like, let's just say that I don't.
Right.
Like, you know, whether I will or won't.
Right.
Leave that aside. Let's just say that I don't. He knows that I won't.
Right.
And therefore, he knows that I'm going to hell already.
Right.
So what, is he some kind of...
Like, no.
He must. Well, then
no.
What's his problem? Why did he condemn me to hell already?
Okay, this is the way I look at it. If God has planned that I'm going to have a full stomach tonight, my analogy earlier, would it make sense for me to say, then why eat? See, because you know what the Bible says? Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice.
Hang on a second. But the thing is, what you're saying, first of all, you're saying that you have knowledge of what God has knowledge of about the future, which you don't. So that analogy doesn't even work.
No, it does work.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't function.
Because I know that God knows where you're going to end up, right?
Sure, but you don't know that God knows that you're going to have a full stomach tonight. You can't have
it's
that.
It's the analogy. If God knows that I'm going to have a full stomach.
Right, but you don't have that knowledge.
Okay, what's your argument?
My argument is that either God is some kind of for condemning me to hell already.
Why? On what terms?
Because on whose terms? Because I don't have a choice. Because he knows...
You do have a choice.
No, I don't. Because
sure you do.
He knows what I'm going to do.
Right.
Right. So my choices are already laid out in front of me.
Well, the thing is...
And I know where you're going.
No.
God knows that which...
No, okay,
you'll choose one. But what you're saying is then that God knows... Let's call my choice to repent... Let's call that statement R, right? Represented by R. You're saying that God knows R and not R, which is a logical impossibility.
No.
Yes.
He knows R.
No, he doesn't.
He knows what you're going to do.
Right. Right. So then he's...
No. Well, let me show you the story. Let me flip this around to your worldview. You're probably an evolutionist, right?
I'm an anti-theist.
So you believe that your thoughts are the byproduct of chemical reactions?
I'm sorry?
You think that your thoughts are the byproduct of chemical reactions?
Something thereof.
Right? So, do you make choices, or is what you say based on the chemical reactions in your brain?
Well, it depends on how you look at it. I mean, ultimately...
You must be a determinist.
These guys have been here before.
You must be a determinist.
I'm not. No.
Well, how do you get free choice if your thoughts are based on chemical reactions?
Because those chemical reactions aren't not random.
How can you choose other than what your physiology is going to tell you to choose?
I mean, but that is exactly the choice. But it's not like your physiology has a predetermined path.
No, but the thing is, are you free to choose other than what your biology is telling you to choose?
Absolutely.
You are free to choose.
Look, I mean, look, like, for instance, my biology, I mean, I'm a 22-year-old dude.
Right.
I'm in college. My biology tells me to f*** everything that moves, and I don't.
Well, let me ask you a question, though. If I took a bottle of Coke and a bottle of Mountain Dew and I shook them up, and I open them, they'd start to fizz.
Yeah.
Would it make sense to call one of those fizzes true and one of those fizzes false?
No.
Because it's a byproduct of a chemical reaction, right? So when you say that what my worldview believes is false, you're not basing that on your worldview because chemical reactions can't give you truth or false.
Well, you need to examine what you're calling, what your truth value is.
That's right. What is truth in your worldview?
Yeah. That requires a very separate discussion.
Right, but when you say that what we believe is false based on logical impossibilities,
you're borrowing from my worldview. I'm not saying that what you're saying is false based on logical. Basically, I'm saying that you, for the God, the omniscient God paradigm to exist,
right,
you have to concede that A, he's a or here's your other option, that he can commit logical impossibilities.
Okay, let me ask you this question. If you're a potter, and
it's inescapable.
Hang on. If you're a potter, yeah, and you're making pots, yeah, right? You're making clay pots. You're making flower pots.
My brother's an excellent potter.
Okay, and he takes one of them,
yeah,
and he smashes them on the ground.
Yeah.
And he takes the other one and he uses it for a nice flower.
Yeah.
Is your brother an ass for doing that?
No.
Why not?
Because the pots are indifferent. They don't have any...
Well, because he made them, right?
No, that's not why. So you're saying that just because God made... So does that mean if I have a child, I can... kill it and because
no,
I made it and
well, because you did make it because
oh,
God made it.
Yeah, sure.
God made it.
Right, but the question is, the pots aren't animated. They don't have they don't have brains.
So
there's no ethics affiliated.
So what you're saying that what God does is immoral. If he condemns people to hell.
No. If he condemns people to hell.
Right.
Already knowing that it is impossible for me to, he created me knowing that I was going to be condemned to hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
Based on what standard?
What do you mean?
Based on what standard is that immoral?
What I'm saying is like for what purpose, really? You know, like why would he create all these people, and you know he needs these people to worship him and pay money to his organization?
Well, the thing is, that's a good question for a Bible study.
But just hear me out. So he needs all these people to worship him, and those who don't.
He doesn't need anybody to worship him.
Sure. Okay. He needs these people to repent for their sins.
He doesn't need them
Jesus
to do that.
Died. He wants them to. What, why would he condemn people to hell if he didn't want them to?
Well, I can answer. In the Bible study, I'll answer that to people. God does everything for his glory.
Okay, sure. But, like, why would he do this sick experiment?
Why do you call it sick? See, when you say it's sick...
Oh, well, because, okay, look. Hell, what happens in hell? You burn and...
Forever,
and
that's
scream
right.
Scream and
right.
Gnashing teeth and
right.
blah, blah. That's not pleasant.
That's
really.
Right, it's not.
If I,
that's
if
why
I,
we're out here.
Let's say if I just for no reason was like if I had the power to say
right.
like, hey, I'm gonna turn you around and push you through a door right there, and then you're in fire, gnashing teeth, screeching, crying for
right.
the rest of your life, you'd say that's pretty mean of me to do that to you.
Well, but the thing is, you're not God.
Right. Sure. But you would you would say that would be
because I would have a standard by which I could
like
call it wrong.
If I shoved him into a closet full of fire and
right.
and gnashing teeth and weeping, that would be. Not very nice of me, right?
But that's a false. That's a false analogy.
No, it's not. Just it's a thought experiment. So that's, you would call me a if I did.
No,
that.
But the thing is, I.
You would call me a.
If I were to do that, look. If I were to do that, if I were to do that, I would do that because I have a standard of morality. Now my question is, what is your standard of morality by which what you call God does wrong?
Well, I would say, the only real objective. Basis for morality, and if there even is one, is really only relative to humanity. And morality is ultimately a biological function, a biological tool, really.
So then, on what basis do you call God wrong for what he does?
Because I don't think you're understanding what I'm saying.
I understand exactly. I debate online. I do this all the time.
So if God, like, why would God create me if he knows I'm already going to hell?
For his glory.
Just because.
For his glory. Because the thing is, you don't know if you're going to end up in hell. God does.
Right.
Right. Right.
Why?
For his glory.
What does that mean?
Well, I can give you an example.
So then God...
No, well, based on what standard?
On what standard that...
Based on what standard of morality?
On the standard that... On the standard that he's being a... to me by condemning me to hell without even...
But why is that wrong?
Because I don't... Well, like I said... Being involved in fire and gnashing teeth and whatnot, that's not very pleasant.
It's not pleasant, but why is it wrong? You just tell me you don't like it. You're not telling me why it's wrong.
If I condemned you to fire and gnashing
right.
teeth, that's wrong.
Based on what standard?
Just because I...
You're telling me you don't like it.
Okay, I have a child.
Right.
And I throw it in a
right.
boiling pot of water
right.
and it screams and dies for the rest of its life.
Right.
Eternal life, really.
Right.
That's it. Generally immoral.
Based on what standard?
Well, I mean, if if you want to remove God from the picture based on, you know, whatever ethical standard you want to go by, whether you're a relative.
What if you like burning babies? Why is that wrong?
Why is burning? Like I said, it depends on your on your standard of ethics.
That's right.
So for me, I would say by means of evolution, or by the intent of morality, as evolution would have it dictate, it's not at all conducive to the continuation of our species.
So what? What if I like getting kicks by burning babies? What if I don't care about the continuation of my species? Why is it wrong?
Right. That well, to you, that may not be wrong.
Right. So you can't say it's wrong. You can say I just don't like it.
Right. But
that's
but,
right.
But you're but ultimately it's relative. But you could say that the relativism is removed by the fact that we have evolved to have these moral intuitions, meaning on some sort of objective standard you shouldn't burn babies.
Did Jeffrey Dahmer evolve? Jeffrey Dahmer is the guy that ate people, kept them in his fridge.
But that doesn't.
Did he evolve?
I know who he is. Of course he evolved.
Okay, how do you know he didn't evolve right? And you're the aberration.
No, you're absolutely right. There's
no standard.
Evolution has no
that's
progression.
Right.
You're
so you can't
right.
call what God does wrong
no, God
based
doesn't,
on your
no,
standard.
God doesn't, no. It's different. Because I mean, just because Jeffrey Dahmer is an evolved being doesn't
right.
mean that what he is doing is like his, you know, his acts are morally perfect or anything like that. Stupid.
If two people evolve, though, you believe that eating people is wrong.
I don't think you know what evolution works.
Hang on.
How evolution works.
He's obviously an evolved being. His brain, at one point, told him that eating people was the right thing to do.
Sure.
Your brain has evolved to a point where it says eating people is the wrong thing to do.
Right.
Now, two people...
No.
Right.
That's not
how do you differentiate?
Works.
Which is right and which
that's
is wrong?
That's not how evolution
is it,
works.
Is it by the majority?
No. That's not how evolution works.
Well, then, by what standard is what he did wrong?
By, like I said, if you want to go back to a biological standard, it's very clearly wrong.
Yeah, but what if I don't?
Then you're wrong.
Based on what standard?
On that evolutionary standard.
I know, but what if I don't agree with that standard?
Then you don't have a choice because you're wrong.
Yeah,
because
but that
is,
you're just
that
declaring
is
that.
The standard.
See, but that's begging the question.
No, it's not.
Sure it is.
It's absolutely not.
How do you know that?
How am I being circular?
Okay, to say that the evolutionary standard is the right standard is to say that God doesn't exist.
Yeah, correct.
So you're begging the question.
No.
You're assuming that God doesn't exist.
I'm not. Look, I'm not using this ethical argument as an answer to God. That's stupid.
Right. But you're begging the question by saying it's the right standard.
No. The thing is, to even have this ethical discussion, you need to be out of the God paradigm first.
Not at all.
So, yes.
You need the God paradigm, and I explained that to you.
No, you don't.
I can explain that to you.
But just back to my. We've digressed quite a bit. So my point is,
you are made in the likeness of God,
my first point, God knows if I'm going to repent or not. Whether
right.
I know that
exactly.
or do that
yep.
is irrelevant.
No, it is
no,
irrelevant.
No. Just it's irrelevant to this argument. Is whether I do or not. So God knows that I'm whether which one I'm going to do.
Right.
Let's say I don't.
Right.
Right. And He knew that I wasn't. He knew that I wasn't gonna 2,000 years ago.
Right. Right.
Okay. So He knows that I'm going to hell.
Right.
And that is kind of for Him to do.
Based on what standard?
So you think it's okay to just... I mean, look, like, why are you out here... If you think it's okay to just condemn people to hell for whatever, then why are you out here trying to convert people?
Because I'm not trying to convert people. I'm speaking the truth. And this is this is the analogy I use. If God knows that I'm going to have a full stomach tonight, then you say, well, why are you eating, man?
But look, that fails, that analogy.
No, it doesn't.
It does, because that's like... That's if you take my thought experiment with the you know where God knows that I'm gonna go to hell or not.
Right.
But that's like as if you could say that I had the knowledge that
no.
I was in, yes it's the same thing. You're saying
it's an analogy.
Right, and it's
you know what? No,
it's not analogous to what I'm saying.
Because I don't know if you're going to hell, either do you.
Exactly. Right.
I don't know if I can have a full stomach tonight.
Exactly.
That's why we're out here.
No, right.
That's why it's a good analogy.
Okay, no, but it's a bad analogy because
if I knew you were going to hell, I wouldn't talk to you.
No, but it's not compatible.
It's
with
a perfect
with
analogy.
My analogy. No, it's not. Because look.
Exactly
so, God knows that I'm going to go to hell.
Right, and he knows if I'm going to have a full stomach.
Right, but you don't know that he knows that.
That's right. I know he knows that I'm going to have a full stomach, or not. I know that he knows that. God knows everything.
No, but you don't. You're saying that God does know that you're going to have a full stomach.
He knows if I am or not.
Right.
He knows if you're going to hell or not.
Right.
But why do I eat?
To make sure that you have a full stomach.
Right.
Right. But that is irrelevant.
No, because let me explain it to you. Do you know why we're out here preaching? Because God doesn't only ordain the ends. He ordains the means as well as the ends.
Sure.
The thing is, I'm out here because the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. Now, the thing is, the Bible talks about sheep and it talks about goats. So I'm out here preaching that one of his sheep might hear and be converted.
Yeah.
But if you're a goat, you know what this does for you? This is bad news for you. You're stopping to talk to me here. Because you're getting truth today, and you're going to be held accountable for the amount of truth that you get and reject.
Because look. The only point that I'm trying to make to you, do you like not understand what I'm saying?
I have debated many people. Okay, so, I'm going to give you a card from my website. You can check out my debates.
I don't want to see that.
Proofthatgodexists.org. You can check it out.
Okay. Proofthatgodexists.org.
Wow,
that's quite the claim.
Go to my multimedia page. I've debated a lot of people.
So, but I don't understand how. So, if I push someone into a closet full of fire,
right.
That doesn't make me.
It would.
Okay.
So you're not God.
But if God does it, that he's not.
Based on what standard?
Based on the standard that
your arbitrary standard.
You're just your opinion.
You're just saying you don't like
no,
it.
No. Right. I certainly don't like.
You can't say it's wrong.
By God's standard, it may be.
No, it's not. Because God does it. God is God. Okay, you're not.
Okay. So God is ethically infallible, even if
that's right.
Even if tomorrow he thought it was right to kill
everyone. No, God
does
not. Okay.
No. But okay. So tomorrow, God comes down from the sky and says, "Hey, you kill each other."
No, he wouldn't say that. He wouldn't use vulgarity like that.
But let's just say that he did.
He wouldn't.
Sure. But let's.
I won't entertain that hypothetical about the God that I adore.
No vulgarity. He comes down and says, "Hey, actually, I just decided right now that it's morally right." Not even morally like neutral, but morally right to kill each other and
right.
steal each other's stuff.
Well,
then we do
that's because you don't understand absolute morality, and I'm going to explain it to you.
No.
I'm going to explain it to you because God cannot do that. He cannot do that, and I'm going to explain because you don't understand absolute morality.
Why can't God do that?
Okay, I'm going to explain it to you.
I thought he was omniscient. Or excuse me.
Yeah, I'm going to explain to you. But omnipotence doesn't mean the ability to do anything. It means to do everything within his character. But I'm going to give you an example.
Not omnipotent.
Well, okay. So
you're
are you saying
that he's
no. Okay, are you saying that to be logically to be God, God has to be able to do the logically impossible?
You either have to concede that he's or
No. I don't have to do that.
That he can will himself out of existence, that he can create a rock.
He can't do that.
Can he create a rock larger than he can?
Well, are you saying that in order to be God, he has to be able to do that?
No. I'm saying that in the omniscient God paradigm,
right.
You must pretty inescapably admit that he's either some kind of.
But that's based on a standard that you can account for. That's based on your standard.
That's based on a standard that I absolutely can.
You're telling the God of the universe how he should treat you.
Right.
And you know, that's exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden.
Sure.
You know what? God said, don't eat of the fruit. Satan said, eat of the fruit. You know what Eve said? I'm going to decide. You know, God, I know better than you. I'm going to eat of the fruit. She made herself God, and that's what you're doing. You're saying, God, you sending these people to hell? That's wrong based on my standard. You're making yourself God.
I mean, I would say that's even wrong based on his standard. God says you shouldn't kill it's people.
It's not wrong based on his standard.
Yeah, okay, I mean, God would say that it's ethically questionable to kill and torture someone just cause, essentially.
He would say that it was wrong for people to do that apart from his command, yes.
Sure, right.
But, okay, we're getting back to absolute morality.
Right.
Let me explain that to you.
No. Let me, we're going in a good direction here. So God would say it's wrong for me to just maim and torture you just because I thought that was cool.
Absolutely.
Right. So, God is essentially, by condemning me to hell, making that same decision. Just
no, he's not.
Just torturing
no, he's not.
Me and,
because you're not God.
Sure, right, that's fine. But he's torturing me, killing me, hurting me for the when I go to hell for the rest
the
of my
thing
life,
is,
or for eternity, and I'm very sad on things that I couldn't even.
But you doing it to me is different.
I couldn't even change it.
Because I haven't sinned against you.
Right,
that's the difference.
Right, but
you've sinned against God.
But he has decided whether I'm sinning against him or not.
That's right.
Right? He's given you a law.
I don't have the choice whether
yes,
I can
you do.
Sin
you
against
obey. You obey the law.
No, I don't have a choice.
Yes, you do. You have free choice. You don't have free will. There's a difference.
If he's omniscient,
yes.
I don't have
yes,
the
do.
Ability
yes, you do.
To choose.
Okay, let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this question. Is it logically impossible for God to ordain your free choice?
The gift of God.
I don't think so. No.
See, that's the problem.
But that
God ordains our free... Okay, I'm going to bring you to Scripture, okay? To see what God does. Did God plan that Judas would betray Christ?
I'm sure he did.
He did.
Yeah.
He said it will go according to his plan and foreknowledge.
Yeah.
He planned that Judas would betray Christ. Was Judas responsible for what he did?
I believe...
How do we know that answer to that question, whether Judas was responsible? We have to see whether his word says about that. Matthew 26:24, do you know what it said? It will go as it has been written, but woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man, it'll be better if he had not been born. Judas was 100% responsible for what he did. Do you know what responsibility implies? Responsibility implies free choice.
Sure.
So God planned it, and he had free choice. How can that be? It can only be reconciled one way. God planned his free choice, such that it remained free. And that is not a logical contradiction.
It is.
No, it's not.
It is not.
Okay.
Because so, look. Because
all right.
God knows the outcome.
Right.
So he knows what his choice
God,
is going to be.
But he plans that we do it freely.
No.
Now the thing is, when
no,
you say, hang on a second.
That doesn't make sense.
When you say it doesn't make logical sense, you're appealing to an absolute standard of logic, right? Right?
I suppose.
Logic is universal.
Sure, yeah.
It's not made of matter, and it does not change. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Logic is universal, not made of matter, does not change.
Does not
God,
cha-
hang
does
on a second.
Change.
Well, logic doesn't change, or I could just talk nonsense to you. God is
does not...
Does not
change.
Hang on.
More implications than I think.
God is universal. God is not made of matter. God does not change. Logic makes sense in my worldview. You have a world that's only made of matter and is constantly changing. Where do you get laws, logical laws from in your worldview?
I mean...
Where do you get logical laws
Logical
from?
Laws are only really relative to thinking beings.
So then on what basis do you say what God does is illogical?
Because it... Look, it's not... Okay, look, if you're saying, you say that God is logic, created logic.
No, he's what his logic is based on.
Right. Okay. So then how is he defying what
he's
he
not.
Has he is?
That's based on your wrong interpretation.
No,
of it.
It's not. Look.
Which
you,
law of logic
look,
is violated?
If you say by okay, here's this. P and not P is a logical impossibility.
But it's not P and not P.
Yes it is.
No, it's not.
Yes it is.
No.
Look, if the only okay.
Let me ask you this question. Why is that? Why are contradictions forbidden in your worldview?
Because it's just, that's like saying I exist and I don't exist.
What's wrong with that in your world? You're saying that is contingent on the human mind.
If those two things can't possibly both be true.
Why not?
Because they are inherently contradictory.
So why are contradictions wrong in your worldview?
What do you mean? Because it's like
you're saying it just is.
Look. I exist, and I do not exist.
Okay, now,
that is obviously not true.
Earlier you said that logic was based on minds.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. You said logic is a product of human minds.
I said it's, yeah, at least in some way, relative to humanity.
Oh, relative to humanity. Okay. Before there were humans walking this earth, could the universe have both existed and not existed at the same time and in the same way?
No.
Why not? There are no human minds to have logic.
Sure. So logic is
not contingent on human minds.
I was meaning
right.
More.
Okay. So where do you get logic from?
I was saying more syntactical logic.
So where do you get logic from? Universal abstract invariant laws. Where does that come from in your worldview?
I'm sorry.
Where do universal abstract invariant laws come from in your worldview?
I don't think universal abstract invariant laws always exist.
Then you do.
No, I don't.
Then you do.
Then I do what?
Then you do. If you think they don't, then they do. Because I can contradict you then, and you have no objection. On
no,
what basis
look,
do you apply that law to me?
Look, like, if you want, like, you really have to sort of get into the philosophy of science and truth and those sorts of things, because
that's right.
Because let's talk scientific truths for a second. Truths, near truths, approximate truths. So you have, do you know anything about Thomas Kuhn paradigm shifts, anything like that? So you have something like Newtonian physics,
right? Who was a Christian, right. By the way?
Great. That's great. You have Newtonian physics, where you have... So for a long time, we were like, yeah, this is right. This is like...
Right.
This is how the universe works. and then, like, definitively. And then, over time, it sort of got, you know, there's a lot of anomalies and observances and stuff that really no longer added up in the Newtonian paradigm, and then Einstein came along and essentially threw that all out the window. So, there's really only approximate truths.
Like, is that true? Or is that approximately true?
Approximately true.
See?
Absolutely. Look.
Are you saying there's no absolute truth?
I'm not saying there's no absolute truth, but I'm not saying there's not.
Okay, let me ask you one question. Could you be wrong about everything you think you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
You know what you just said to me? That you don't know anything.
No.
Okay, and I can explain that to you. I can explain that to you. Let's say somebody asked me, what's the speed of the street out here? And I say it's 40 miles an hour, but I could be wrong. Do I know it?
No.
No. So what do you know that you could be wrong about?
But the thing is, you're committing a fallacy of false dilemma.
No. Because you said you could be wrong about everything.
You're committing a fallacy of false dilemma.
Could you be wrong about that?
Look, you're committing a fallacy of false dilemma.
Could you be wrong about that? Yes, I know exactly what that means.
What does it mean?
That you're saying that there's two options, and you're saying there's actually a third option. You're not giving me all the options.
Or possibly more.
That's right.
Right, correct.
Right.
In fact, and that is right, that there is...
I know what a false dilemma is. Like I said, I debate people all the time.
Okay, so, and saying... What you're saying is, in fact, a false dilemma. Because I can say, I think it's 40, and I do not know. It is not... That is not definitively true or false.
Could you be wrong about
that? Sure.
See, when you say you could be wrong about everything, you can't know anything.
No, that's not true.
Okay, what do you know that you could be wrong about? Okay, well, give me an example of something you know that you could be wrong about.
I mean,
just one example, man. I got all afternoon.
If you put it black... Okay, like, going back to your 40-mile-an-hour example. So, I think the speed limit, which is, like, I have some... You know, approximate recollection, something like that. Idea that, you know, I may have had some past experiential data that would suggest that that's 40 miles an hour.
Right. But do you know it?
Maybe.
I'm asking you for...
I mean, do I know that for a fact?
I'm asking you for one thing that you know that you could be wrong about.
I mean...
One thing.
You just are kind of misappropriating... What no actually?
Could you be wrong about that?
It's not black and white.
Is that true?
There's gray area.
Could you be wrong about that?
Of course, you could be wrong about
absolutely
anything.
See, that's the problem. Could you be wrong about the fact that you could be wrong about everything?
Sure.
See, that's what happens when you deny God. Your worldview is reduced to absurdity.
No, it's not.
Because you know what the Bible says?
No.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
No, you're...
Because if you could be wrong about everything, you don't know anything.
No, because there's... approximate truths.
Is that true that there are approximate truths? Is that absolutely true?
Yeah.
See, now you're depending on absolute truth when you just told me you could be wrong about everything.
I mean,
so you're refuting yourself with every knowledge
that
you make.
There must be some degree of truth. Like, for instance, I know that if I kick this thing, this concrete thing, I'm gonna probably hurt myself.
But could you be wrong about that?
Theoretically, yes.
Then you don't know.
No. But here's where I'm going. There's an approximate truth there.
Is
true? There's an approximate truth there in that, I don't know if I want to use the word practically, but for lack of a better word, practically speaking, that is true. Of course, there's a possibility in quantum mechanics that says, you know, if there's a one in a trillion, billion chance, whatever, it's insane number of chance that if I walk into that brick wall, I'm just going to perfectly pass through it and blah, blah, blah. Like, that theoretically can happen. Now, it's so unlikely that it doesn't happen. So, of course, I don't know that that is necessarily true, that I'm not going to pass through. But it is practically... Practically isn't really the word that I want to use. But it's practically true. It's approximately true.
I'm going to even destroy that for you. Because you know what you're doing? You're appealing to uniformity. You're saying that the things that happen... Hang on.
Right. I know. And there's a... induction is really problematic. I know.
All right.
I know.
So on what basis do you actually use induction? You have no basis for trusting induction.
I know the problem of induction.
That's right. So you have no basis for even assuming induction.
Right.
But so without God, you have no knowledge. You can have no knowledge.
Right. And I mean, I'm definitely a moral nihilist. I might be a complete nihilist.
You have to be.
Yeah,
but I think it's self-refuting.
No.
Because you can't even know your own nihilism.
Right, but I mean, that therein lies nihilism.
But you know what the Bible says, though? You know that God exists. God doesn't send people to hell for denying what they don't know. God sends people to hell for sinning against the God that they do know.
Sure. But I, you still haven't really disproven the logical impossibilities.
Sure I have. Because you know what the problem is? When you're saying that I haven't disproving it, you know what you're exposing a pre-commitment to? Proof. You know what proof assumes? Proof assumes absolute truth. It assumes knowledge.
Can you prove the existence of
God? I can.
Do it.
That's my website, actually.
Okay.
I'm going to do it right now. Here, you can take that. Take it, and you can check my website.
But
I'm going to prove it to you right now.
Right, yeah.
The proof that God exists, that without him you can't prove anything.
I'm sorry?
The proof that God exists, that without him you can't prove anything. It's a transcendental proof. God is a necessary precondition for intelligibility. There is intelligibility, therefore God exists.
Interesting approach. I've actually never heard that argument before.
Well, let's put it this way. If God is at the end of an argument, then what we get to is not God. Because the Bible says, from him, through him, and to him are all things. You need God to reason, to make sense of your thought.
I disagree. Actually, are you familiar with Descartes?
Yes.
Yeah,
I think therefore I am.
Right.
He was begging the question, as Bertrand Russell, an atheistic philosopher, pointed out.
Right.
Because look at the premises.
Right. I know. Right. And you're assuming that
think,
there's an
that's
I.
Right.
I right.
He's
right.
begging the question.
Right.
So you can't even know you exist without
right.
God.
It could just, there could just be thoughts and blah, blah, blah. But,
right. It could be thoughts in the ether.
Right.
So you're a philosophy student.
Yeah.
I had a philosophy student come up to me once, and he was debating with some friends of mine, denied logic. And he came up to me, and my friend said, you know, can you talk to this guy who denied logic? I said, so you deny logic? And he said, yeah, I do. I said, then you don't. And you know what he did? Big smile stuck out his hand. He says, I like you. So if you deny logic, I can contradict you till the cows come home.
Right.
So.
Sure.
But logic cannot be accounted for in a materialistic world.
In what?
In a materialistic world. You cannot account for universal, abstract, invariant laws. It's impossible. See, I'm not out here trying to prove
but
that
but
God exists to people.
I don't think there are necessarily abstract, universal, invariant laws.
Okay, then you do.
Because
I can contradict you.
No, but like I said, you can have...
On what basis can I not contradict
you? Can have practical approximations of those.
Yeah, but the thing
laws.
Is, when you say that, you can have this, you're stating an absolute truth.
Okay, fair.
See, it's just self-refuting.
Fair.
Because the thing is, look, don't get me wrong. I get it when people walk past you, they think we're nuts standing up. I get that.
Yes.
But the thing is, that's because you get people out here talking crazy stuff. You get Benny Hinn on TV with his gold embroidered suit flying his jet all over the place, bilking people out of money. They make me want to puke too. I get that. But the thing is, when I see people walking past here who are choosing hell, I want to speak the truth to them. And the scripture says...
You say choosing, but they
right.
can't choose.
No, that's where you're wrong.
No.
Because they choose freely according to God's plan. And that's a divine mission. You know what the scripture says? In 2 Timothy 2:25, repentance comes before a knowledge of the truth.
Okay.
Repentance. So you know what that means? Is that people have to change their mind about God. People have to change their mind about God before they can see the truth. You know what? Most Christians are trying. They're out here trying to get people to believe, to see the truth, so that they'll repent. If I came out here and said, you know, the Bible says that a donkey talked, that a snake talked, that a man who was dead, you'd think I was nuts. But if you deny that God exists, that is nuts. But if God exists, that all makes sense. If God says that's how he did it, I'm going to tell you, I know you, I appreciate you stopping. Here's another story in Scripture. I don't know if you're familiar with Scripture at all, Genesis.
I don't take...
Okay, well, I'll give you a quick story. Joseph.
I think there's a lot of... There's a very good argument.
But you made a good argument that Christians...
Of Scripture.
Most Christians cannot answer that the question that you gave. But I'm going to explain it to you. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers because they were jealous of him. Because they had favor of his fathers. They sold him into slavery, and he was bought. He ended up being head of Egypt. And there's a famine in the land, so the family had to go beg to him. They didn't know that it was his brother, because he was the big shot now. They thought he was dead. So anyhow, they come up there, and then Joseph reveals himself. He says, I'm your brother. And they were terrified. Joseph says, don't worry, chill out, you know. I'm not going to do it, you know. And anyhow, the father dies. Now these guys are freaking out, because now Joseph is going to kill them for what they did to his brothers. What did Joseph say to him? Genesis 50 verse 20, do you know what he said? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. That God planned that what Joseph's brother did, they did freely. He planned that they did it freely.
No, I mean, that's ultimately just sort of, you're just sort of playing on words, really.
No, it says Genesis 50 verse 20, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. How can that be? Because he uses secondary means by which he ordains that people do things freely. And when you say that's illogical, you appeal to something that you can account for without God.
It is illogical.
Based on what standard, though? That's the problem.
So, I mean, so can so God can just adjust the laws of logic on
No, him. No, I'm saying that that is not illogical.
How is it not illogical?
Because God can do things that we cannot do. Not illogical
things.
So
he can do illogical.
No. And I, you know that rock so big analogy?
Yeah.
I have an answer for that, by the way.
What is that?
Because people say to me, can God make a rock so big that he can't lift? And I say, no, because God cannot do the logically impossible. And then they say, well, then your God's not omnipotent. And I say, oh, you want God?
That's
hang on.
Not really the argument.
Let me finish. I know. But somebody says, okay, God has to be able to do that to be omnipotent. I say, okay, such a God can make a rock so big that he can't lift. And you know what they say to me? Well, there's something God can't do. He can't lift that rock. I say, no, a God who can do the logically impossible can lift the rock he can't lift.
Sure, right. That's great. But that's not the argument that I'm really going.
Right, but you're saying that that's illogical. And I'm saying because it's in Scripture, it's not, because God cannot be illogical.
Okay, but
I might not be able to explain it.
Where do you get the accountability of Scripture?
Where do I get the accountability? What do you mean by that?
Of the Scripture. Like,
how do I know it's true?
Yeah, how can I trust it?
Because if you don't, you lose the foundation by which you call anything true.
Sure, but let's say...
Someone took your choice for that.
I wasn't sure where this guy came from. But, I was kind of...
No. How do you get the accountability of Scripture?
Oh, yeah, right. So I mean, look, like...
Now, on the other side...
Most of what you're appealing to...
Right.
This picture was 22 weeks...
Is not... Are not... necessary attributes of a Christian God.
Sure they are.
Really? No.
Absolutely.
No, absolutely not.
Well, give me an example.
For instance, let's say I have the exact same conception of God that you do.
Right.
Sans Christianity, Bible.
Well, you know the identity of indiscernibles? Have you ever heard of that?
No.
That if you call something not God that is exactly the same attributes, then you're basically calling it God.
Right. But let's say, I'm saying, sans the Christ and Father, Son, Holy Spirit, blah, 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 blah. I mean, how is that ultimately, like that, those sort of, what I'm saying is most of your arguments, like you could derive your same arguments about, you know, universal laws and et cetera, with the Muslim God, or
but the thing is,
God, or just the God that I mean, I could just think up a God,
right,
and just say he has all these things, and therefore my God's right.
Right. However, is that what you do?
No, but what validates yours over?
Because he's the only one that exists.
On what standard can you say that?
Because he's revealed that to each of us, such that we know it. People say, how do I know that God exists? Same way you do. Now, if you're
I don't think God.
But if you, no, you do. That's what Scripture says. When you stand before him, it's not going to be, well, what do you know? Nobody becomes a Christian and says, well, what do you know? There is a God. It's always admitting what they've been suppressing all along. Now, the thing is, what people in your shoes do you know what they do? They say, well, what about this guy? What about this guy? I said, do you believe any of them? They say, no. I said, well, why don't we argue about whether the moon's made of green cheese? Why do we argue about things that neither of us believe? It doesn't make sense.
No, but
if you're a Muslim, I can answer that.
But look, you're sort of missing the question. Is that what validates your God over a Muslim God?
Because he's the only one that exists. The Muslim God doesn't exist.
But why? How can you say that?
Because God has told everybody that he knows he exists. Now, if you're a Muslim, I'll debate you on that.
But the Muslim God is going to say the same thing.
Right. Okay. Ultimately. Okay. Let's do that thought experiment then. Okay.
What about Zeus and the Olympians?
We'll do that thought experiment though. Okay. I say that God is a necessary precondition for knowledge. It's a transcendental argument, like I said earlier. God is a necessary. No, Allah is a necessary precondition.
I mean,
hang on. Let me finish the argument.
Actually, going back to that argument, I mean, you just ultimately. I mean, I think now actually the very easy way to get out of that is you just really have to go into what knowledge is.
Right. Justify true belief.
What is true?
Truth?
What is justified?
Well, the thing is, I can define those things in my world.
Like you, right? Well, that's the thing. It's like you just ultimately define those things differently.
But the difference between you and me is that,
and that's fine.
The difference between you and me is that I have an absolute standard by which I can call things true. You have said that you could be wrong about everything you claim to know.
Sure. Yeah.
That's the difference.
And I'm fine with that.
Because you can have knowledge. You don't have knowledge. But the thing is, you do know things.
I approximately know things.
No, you do know things. Because when you... I know, but do you know that you approximately know things?
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. You're making knowledge claims. You do know things.
Okay, I approximately know that I approximately know
things.
And you infinitely regress.
Yes,
and that's fine.
Is it fine? You know that it's fine.
I personally know that. See? Sorry. And I infinitely regret.
But the thing is, you don't live that way.
Yeah,
you don't live that way.
I absolutely do.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do, because...
You can't know anything to any degree, because we have the problem of induction again.
I know all about the problem.
So you can't know anything to any degree.
Right.
But we're getting back to the Muslim God. You say...
Yes. My comment is, what about, Islamic sectals are not at all comparable to the Holocaust, and if you had a mother who's diseased...
What about the Muslim? Somebody, I say the same thing to the Muslim. How do you know what you know? Do you know what it says? It says in the Quran.
Right.
I said, what does the Quran say about the Bible? You know what the Quran says about the Bible? Quran says the Bible is a previous revelation of Allah. Says the Bible is true. And I say, well, why don't you believe the Bible now, Mr. Muslim? And you know what they say? Because it's been corrupted. It's been corrupted over time. And I say, what does your Quran say about whether the Bible can be corrupted? Their own Quran says the words of Allah cannot be corrupted. They refute themselves.
Okay.
I can do that with any worldview.
I suppose. What about claims about the existence of Jesus?
Like, what
about I think there's a pretty... I've heard I'm not totally convinced myself, but I've heard a pretty convincing argument that Jesus could not have existed, or didn't exist, really, at all.
The Bible says he did, though.
Right, but I mean, the Bible's accountability is...
No, but the thing is, when you say that, you're saying that the Bible... hang on, let me finish the analogy.
I mean, I'm sure you know about the Nicaea Council and all that sort of stuff.
Nicaea, yeah.
Nicaea, sure.
325 AD.
What about...
codified then,
What about the other scriptures that were submitted?
Yeah, but the thing is, you don't believe any of them.
Right.
Right? Okay, but the problem is, and somebody says to me, how do I know the Bible's true? I said, because if it wasn't, you couldn't make sense of your question. Because you're basing a standard of truth by which you judge scripture. How do I know the Bible's true? And you know what? When I ask people what truth is according to their world, do you know what most unbelievers say? Truth is whatever corresponds to reality. They have a correspondence theory of truth.
Right.
I said, that's fine. I have no problem with that. How do you know it's real?
Right, yeah.
And you know what they do? They're going to appeal to their senses, their memory, and their reasoning.
Right, which are not...
They're going to beg the question. So you can't know what's true without God. But
no,
everybody out here knows it.
You just have to...
Is that true?
...change what you think about truth.
Is that true?
We've done this all
the time. That's right.
Then you infinitely regress and blah, 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 blah. And
that's
right. Infinite regression true. And yeah, I understand.
Right.
But,
so you can't know anything.
Sure. But what about... Okay, put it this way. Let's say I have a conception of God separate from the Bible, but we have the same conceptions about universal truths and blah, blah. So... However, being without Jesus, I can look at the argument against his existence.
Well, I treat all worldviews two ways. I'll tell you how. God, the God world, the God of the Bible worldview, all other worldviews I treat as a not God worldview. Something made up, because God said, well, make up idols. So anyhow, so all the not God worldviews...
So you just kind of...
No, okay, so you would have a not God worldview. And I would say, how do you know what you know?
Right. So you just ultimately... appeal to that matter what you're being approached.
Right, because it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
Right.
All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. If you deny that, fine. Deny it, how do you know anything? And you say, I could be wrong. So you don't know anything. And the argument's over.
But I mean... So if you... I mean, isn't your reasoning... for the validity of the scripture kind of circular?
It is circular. Absolutely it's circular. But not all circles are fallacious. Because the thing is, your justification for logic is circular. Your justification for...
No, it's not. It's not circular.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Prove to me the laws of logic without assuming them.
I'm sorry?
Prove to me the laws of logic without assuming them. Prove to me that your reasoning is valid.
I'm not a master logician. Right, but that's the thing.
Prove to me that your reasoning is valid without using your reasoning.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not going to say that reasoning is necessarily...
But you assume that it is, though. You assume your reasoning is valid to come to any conclusion.
I assume that it's valid enough for me to...
Okay, but
get from point A to point B in my life and live.
But if I ask you your basis for assuming that, do you know what you're going to say? I reasoned it.
Like,
so it's viciously, viciously circular.
Sure.
All ultimate authority claims must be circular, but only one can be valid. Because when I say to you, is it impossible for God to exist, you have to say, well, no, it's not impossible. Well, the God of Scripture reveals things to us such that we can know them for certain. He reveals that he exists. That's why people are ticked off. That's why you get freaks out here like this, you know. Somebody's out here preaching Allah. This guy's not doing this stuff in front of him. I mean, they would just, oh, you know, let me hear about Allah, you know. You wouldn't get people like this. People know it's true. That's why people stop. But the thing is, there's so many people preaching a false gospel out there that it turns people off. And when somebody comes to speak the truth, you know, then they walk by and they think we're nuts. I don't like doing this. You know, I was at University of North Carolina. The guy comes up to me and says, last week you were telling these women that they were sluts. I said, that wasn't us, man.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be saying stuff like that. Because, well, and this guy would not talk to me, would not take a track. 10 minutes later, the guy said, oh, man, I'm so glad you're not one of those guys. I said, I would run out of 95% of the churches out there. I would run out of them.
Yeah.
It's garbage what people talk to.
I mean, hey, okay, what about, well, no, because you can just kind of appeal to your God can do whatever he wants thing.
He can do whatever is according to his nature.
Okay, right.
God cannot lie.
Well,
God cannot sin.
I mean, well, I was going to say, like, raise questions about, like, the very, like, inherent misogyny in the Bible and stuff like that, but...
Well, that's begging the question as well. Because the thing is, I come from a worldview where I say that God loves women, that there is no misogyny.
But then why is there extreme misogyny?
Well, that is based on your interpretation of that. And the thing is, there is sin in Scripture, but not sanctioned by God.
See, the problem with your worldview is it's almost impossible to morally examine anything. For instance, like you would say that the Bible is the standard of morality. And,
right. No, I would say the character of God. Right. That's right.
Sure. And but the Bible presents that to us. Right. So I mean, the typical counter argument to that, so you know, is that, well, you know, you, for instance, when Moses melts the golden.
Yeah, it wasn't Moses. He was up in the mountain when he did it.
Melts the golden calf, pours it down their throats, and blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, that's like, that's not cool. You know?
No, no kidding.
Like, yeah. So, you know, then how can you say, like, that's not cool and other things?
No, but God was perfectly just in doing
that. Right.
It was perfectly. It was good.
So what I'm saying is you can ultimately just appeal. So in your worldview, you just can't even examine
not God
morality in that, in that way.
I'm saying there's only one way that you can examine morality, is if you have an absolute standard. You can't examine morality if you don't have an absolute standard.
I don't think there's an absolute standard. Like, for instance, like, if the sun went nova tomorrow and everyone on Earth died,
right,
it makes no difference.
Okay, but I'm going to explain, because we never did get into this about absolute morality, because people say, why is stealing wrong?
Yeah.
Stealing is not wrong based on an arbitrary command of God. Stealing is not wrong because God had a standard that he looked upon and said, therefore stealing, because then we don't need God for that. Do you know why stealing's wrong? Because God is not a thief. And we're created in his image.
Sure.
When we steal, and the thing is, God cannot, hang on, let me finish. God cannot come down and say, tomorrow stealing's right, because it's based on his character. You know why adultery's wrong? Not because it destroys families. Adultery's wrong because God is perfectly faithful. I can have a standard that...
Right. I understand what you're saying. But what... So, is God some kind of, like, bisexual, transsexual...
you know that's ridiculous. You know that's ridiculous.
No, I mean, I think that's a somewhat valid question.
No, God does not have a sex.
So you have asexual God. So not,
well,
not the,
I mean, I wouldn't call it asexual. God, you know, he's spiritual. He does not have a sex. You're referred to in the masculine, but God is not a male.
But I mean, but if people were when you say created in his image.
In his moral image.
Moral image.
Because there's things that I can't do. I'm not omniscient. I'm not omniscient.
Right, yeah.
I'm not created in that image.
Of course.
I'm created in his moral image in order to serve and to imitate him on earth. So when I steal, I'm lying about God. It's not wrong because my neighbor gets picked off because they steal a shovel. It's not wrong because my boss is mad because they stole a stapler. It's wrong because I'm lying about who God is. People say, how can an axe murder be on the same par as a white lie? You know why? Not because of the gravity of the sin. Sin is not a measurement of how bad you are. It's a measurement of how good you're not. And any sin is lying about the character of God. It's not a measure of how bad you are. Any sin deserves death, deserves an eternity because of how good God is. And this is how I explain to you. I say, look, if I take a swing at my brother and I miss, no big deal. Blast it off. No big deal. If I take a swing at my parents, a little bit more. If I take a swing at a cop and I miss, I'm going to jail. If I take a swing at the judge, I'm probably going to jail for a long time. Presidential motorcade comes by and I run out to take a swing at him, I could get shot. Or I could be in jail for the rest of my life.
Sure.
Exactly the same crime, more severe punishment based on who it's, against.
Sure.
So any sin, that's, people say, why does a sin against a finite sin deserve an eternity in hell? Not because of the sin, but against, because of who it's against.
Some of the women here will have an abortion. We'll take the life of the child.
Interesting, interesting paradigm you have.
Well, it's true.
I disagree with that.
But, I know, but the thing is, you have no basis to disagree.
No,
with
but
that.
I think, I mean, I wish I could come back tomorrow or something after.
Sure.
After,
well, you go to my website.
Thinking about it overnight.
Because, like I say, check out my debates. Go to my multimedia page. Send me an email. I'll carry this on.
Sure.
I debate a lot of people. I debate a PhD in philosophy.
I imagine.
A PhD in philosophy. Do you know what? I said, what's your justification for truth? Took pages and pages. He finally gave me his justification for truth. Do you know what he said it was? The invisible pink unicorn. Do you know what I said to him? Guess what? You're no longer an atheist. I said, the first thing you have to do to justify your worldview is abandon your worldview. And you know what he said to me? He said, yeah, and you'll discard my deity as quickly as I discard yours. I said, not at all. You book the hall, I'll fly to England, I'll debate you on our respective deities. You argue for the invisible pink unicorn, I'll argue for the God of Scripture as my justification for truth. You know what he said to me? As long as I can say I'm debating a parody. I said, if you're debating a parody, what's your justification for truth? He never gave it to me. I was working in a factory 4 years ago. I debate PhDs in philosophy, not because I'm smart, but because I have the truth. And you cannot justify truth without God.
You're much... I mean, I even talked to... This dude was here before, as well as one of the other guys in there.
Hang on 1 second.
But this is what the Word of God says.
That's his stuff.
You may say there's no God.
So, I mean, aren't you kind of just constantly appealing... I mean, I understand the problems of the universal truths and those things, but I mean, aren't you just kind of like consistently appealing to, like, this is real because
God says it? You know what my standard of truth is? Whatever conforms to the mind of God. Somebody asked me what truth is?
So
whatever God says.
And then in your paradigm, which, I mean, I'm not totally sure is totally infallible, but
you can't even have infallibility.
But in your, basically what it comes down to is... I have to concede, which I do, I have to concede that there aren't universal truths.
You can't deny them, logically.
What do you mean?
You cannot deny universal truth, logically. Because you have to say it's universal truth.
You have to say that
you cannot say it's absolute truth if there's no absolute truth. It's self-refuting.
Right.
Logically, you cannot deny absolute truth.
Right. Right.
But you can't account for it without God. That's the problem. Because otherwise, like you said, you get the infinite regress.
Right. 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 Exactly.
So the only way you can know anything...
Which I'm fine with. Because, like I said, at least a moral nihilist.
Right.
I'm a huge skeptic.
But you're not skeptical about your skepticism. But you're absolutely sure about your skepticism.
That doesn't matter because the implications of skepticism don't function in that way, really.
Yeah, no, but that you're making a truth claim. So let me just finish my argument. So in order to know anything, to get out of the infinite regress, you're only in two ways. You'd have to know everything, right? Or have revelation from somebody who does.
And somebody else is God. And
he reveals him.
But the thing is, like, I'm fine, like... In my world,
he's asking us to move along.
Yeah.
He's telling us that we have to. We'd like to stay and talk to you guys, but we don't want to disrespect the police officers.
Yeah. In my worldview,
we're not really with an organization. We're just
in my worldview, the maelstrom of extreme doubt. I'm fine.
But the thing is, that's right. And that's part of God's ordination, too.
No, but what I'm saying is, ultimately, so what that means is that it's incompatible, essentially.
What is?
My worldview with your worldview.
That's
like,
right.
Like, you can't even really discuss them
right.
in the same
but,
terms.
But the problem is, from my base, I can have knowledge and truth, whether you agree with my base or
right.
not.
Right, yeah, sure.
You can't. So when we discuss this...
Well, it,
You're boring from my world.
Once again, have to. It depends on what your definition of knowledge and truth
right.
is.
But you know what C.S. Lewis says? The gates of hell are locked on the inside. People that go to hell choose it. People that go to hell choose it. You know, because you know what? According to your paradigm, right. you are God. The buck stops here.
Well,
yeah, the buck stops with
well,
you.
Maybe, but I mean, yeah, actually, yeah, I'm okay with that.
That's right.
I'm absolutely okay with
That's
that.
That's right. And that will be your doom.
Right, but in my paradigm, there is no doom.
Yeah, I right. totally realize. However, according to mine, you do know it. And when you put your head on the pillow tonight, you're gonna say, you know, I bumped into the one freaky open air preacher standing up on the box there. He gave me some questions and I had some difficulty. Because the thing is, you have to throw out knowledge. But I know you know. If you wouldn't be in the school, if you're according to your paradigm, does not make sense in university.
No, that's not true. Because like
you say that's not true. You're basing that on a standard,
which you
cannot
justify. Right, no.
Would you get in an airplane if somebody had your paradigm?
But like I said, it's entirely dependent on one's definition of truth and how you treat the word. Like I said, like approximate truths and then infinite regression and blah blah, which is okay.
Yeah, no, but the thing is
how I operate.
But you
look, because I am nothing more than a collection of
is that true?
Insofar as the approximate truths of the scientific
matter. That's the thing. Because you don't know that. You can't know anything.
Right, but I can. It's maybe not relatively true, but it's approximately true.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
What is approximate truth?
Approximate truth, it's truth insofar as...
Is that true?
Well,
is that true?
Right.
That's approximate truth?
We've gone through this
that's
like
right.
with 10 times.
That's right.
Right.
I realize that, but I'm just saying that you cannot even argue from your worldview because you don't have knowledge or truth. And when you argue,
that's only what I'm saying is they're incompatible.
Right.
You can't even talk
right.
about them.
But
with
of
each
the
other.
Two of us, what like, we're doing makes sense in my worldview. Doesn't make sense in yours.
Argue. Right. But let's say like if I were to argue about some issue with someone else in my worldview, it makes sense.
That according to your world, but
right.
But that argument does not make sense in your world. Even arguing in your own world, it doesn't make sense.
How do you figure?
Because you would you say that argument presupposes knowledge? Presupposes truth. Because you know what you're doing. No,
truth.
There's no such thing as approximate truth.
Yes, there is.
No.
There absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Excuse me.
See what you said? Because you know what you're doing. When you utter your mouth to open to make sounds, you know what you're assuming induction.
Right.
Just to make sound.
Right. I understand.
But you're not saying that induction is approximately true, or you wouldn't even open your mouth.
I understand.
You believe that induction is absolute, or you wouldn't open your mouth. You would just open your mouth and go, blah. Why are you forming these words that you assume mean the same things that they did 5 seconds ago?
So you... And God gives induction validity?
That's right.
Right. Sure.
Springtime of Ohio, but I don't think Ohio is Genesis 8:22. I can, because based on God's command and based on His promises, I have a basis for assuming that tomorrow will be like today.
Right. So ultimately what it comes down to, once again, is that you can be circular and that's okay because God...
Everybody is circular.
Right.
But
right.
there's only one way to get out of
right.
it.
Right. Right. Because God, it's okay because God. And... Others can't be circular because not God.
Yeah, because it destroys itself. Your name again? What's your name?
Sean.
Sean, it was good talking with you. And I'll pray for you, Sean.
Thanks.
All right.